Father, that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. We thank you, God, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you have come and redeemed your people this day. We praise you for the privilege of being in the kingdom of God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done for us, God. He has given us his life, his word, his holiness, his purity, his joy, his peace. We praise you for it, God. And we declare that we belong to him today. We are subjects of King Jesus. And we consider it a privilege to bow our knee to him this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. No condemnation. It's wonderful to have no condemnation. I remember reading this testimony, if you would, of an atheist. She was getting close to death, and she said, "One thing that I just so think is great about you Christians, that you got somebody to forgive you. It's great to have somebody to forgive you. No condemnation." Well, if you got nobody to forgive you, you're bound to be condemned for what you did. The enemy will see to it that he'll speak things into your ears to try to condemn us. And I thank God that Jesus Christ has washed away our sin. He's taken us and made the slate clean. His blood washes away our sin. Let's never forget that. Never forget that it's Jesus' blood that washed away our sins. And we're coming up to the Resurrection Sunday, the time when Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for you and I. Let's keep focused on the fact that his blood is so needed in their lives to keep us into a place of righteousness. It's wonderful to know that Jesus is here with us even now. Now, I want to share some things with you this morning along the line that we have been sharing now for the last number of weeks. But I want to share it with you in the light of the fact that as you're a born-again believer, realize that you are a son, you are a daughter, you are a child of God, that you belong to him, and that he sees you in the light of his love, or in the light of that we might have for our children, a love that goes beyond even what we can comprehend, that he sees you as someone special, that he sees you as someone that he would do anything for to see you into his rejoicing in his kingdom and benefiting from his kingdom. You need to know that. We need to realize that the Bible says that you and I, if we have been born again, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so everything that we hear, I want us to take it with the light of that fact, that we are seated in heavenly places. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. Do you know that? We really don't have to prove anything to anybody. God knows exactly what we're like. And if the blood of Jesus Christ has made us righteous, then we're righteous before him. Now, the devil will try to convince us otherwise. He'll bring to our remembrance sins that we've committed and so forth. And if sin comes to our remembrance that we have not repented of or that we haven't got under the blood, then that's not condemnation. That's simply conviction. And we need to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness for that and put that under the blood and turn from it and go the other way. Then the scripture says in 1 John, it says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do you got left when you're cleansed from all unrighteousness? What's left?
Righteousness.
Praise God. Isn't that neat? I think little things like that, little revelations like that are just so exciting. You might think they're very, very simple, but I'm telling you one thing. I know I can't be righteous without his blood, cleansing me from all sin. And I know what it's like not to be righteous. I know what it's like when the devil has a right to condemn because of our unfaithfulness. Anyway, that's the kind of take off this morning. First thing I want us to remember is this. God said this very clearly, and we see it reiterated in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. So in God we live and move and have our being. You and I, in him, you and I live. What's that mean? We have our being in our daily lives. We live and move and have our being daily, not just when we got born again, not just when we came into the kingdom of God. Today, God is involved in your life. Today, God wants to do things in your life. Today, He wants you to experience Him, because you and I were meant to experience Him. We were meant to be always connected to Him. And as we go about our day and realize that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being, then we will begin to set our path of life in a way that will reflect the goodness of God in our lives, or reflect His influence. Now, I'm going to show you some things that you know, the habits that we might get into that we shouldn't do, and what's a remedy for those habits. Because we live and move and have our being in Him, so we should have habits that would reflect that. You know, when you and I live our lives on a daily basis, and the people that we live, work with, probably our peers and so forth, whoever we're with, people should be able to look at us and say, I see that there's some pattern of God in their lives, that they live and move and have their being in God, because there's some things that they won't do, and there's some things that they will do very easily, that the world finds very hard to do. So let's just look at a couple of things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we come to church and we hear sermons in the same spirit with which we would listen to a lecture or a speech. Many times people come to church and they come with ears of the natural, listening to someone as though they would listen to a lecture or a speech. I want you to understand that when God is involved in something, there's more to it than just a lecture or a speech. We need to listen with our heart. Expect to receive a word from God. Count on the anointing to bring revelation. Listen with our heart. In other words, if we're going to get something from God, we're going to have to go deeper than merely our natural hearing. We are going to have to set ourselves in a place of being able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you this morning. And I am convinced that the Lord will speak to you this morning more than by what may be just coming out of my mouth. He can speak to you while I'm talking about another subject. He can speak to you about something else altogether, if you'll be open to it. Something that you need to hear from Him in your life. He will speak to you if you put your faith toward that. He speaks not only through human faculties. Number two, people often come look at the speaker, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher of God merely as a sort of public speaker. In other words, they come again and we just listen to an individual as if they're just merely a public speaker. And the remedy to that is see the speakers as a gift from God to be received with honor, and believe that God will speak to you through their words. Ephesians 4:11 says that Jesus Himself gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So these are a gift from God to the church. I believe that He gave those in order for Him to be able to speak through them to His church, to be able to bring to them messages of God to His church. And so if we are going to hear messages of God through them, then we must listen and hear with that capacity, realizing that they are from God. Now, we're talking this morning about how to receive from the kingdom of God, how to operate in the kingdom of God. And so if we're going to receive instruction and revelation, we can't come to somebody and treat them willy-nilly. We have to respect and believe that God is going to use them, and set ourselves into a place of drawing from them the anointing. I use this sometimes. You know, I know when we have special speakers in here, it might be an apostle, it might be a prophet, or some traveling ministry, and they come in. Sometimes when I'm sitting there, I can consciously get to the place where, or unconsciously get to the place where, well, you know, okay, I'm ready for this meeting now. I've already been to two or three, and you know, what do you got to say today? And really not really tuning into the Spirit. When I catch myself doing that, I'll kind of almost set myself on the edge of the seat and put myself in a position of hearing what the Spirit is saying through that ministry gift, hearing what God wants to speak to me. I want to do something in the natural that will set myself in a place of ready to hear what the Spirit is going to say to me. I mean, the vessel, when you stop and think of it, people, God spoke to individual in the Old Testament, and he used the donkey to do it. So the vessel itself, yes, needs to be honored, but he could use any vessel. And so we have to look beyond the vessel and see who's doing the speaking. So honor the vessel. Third, when we come into church sometimes, when we come to the house, it's just as if we come to a common place like a lecture theater or a lecture hall. Sometimes in not preparing ourselves to come as a body of believers, to come into the fellowship together, sometimes we just come in and just like almost going to a movie theater. You know, we're just going to be entertained. And we must be careful not to fall into that. We must be very careful. And there's some things that we can do so we don't fall into that. And that is respect the place that we gather. In other words, respect the building that we gather in so that we don't show disrespect to one another, because as we do respect the place to gather, we show respect for one another. And as we respect the time of gathering, in doing so, we show respect for the one we worship by focusing on him. In other words, when we come together as a body of believers, we want to show respect for one another, respect for the place that we come to gather, and we respect the time even that we choose to gather together. Listen to this prayer. So that we can show respect for the one that we worship by focusing on him. What do I mean by that? Well, if we are gathered here together and we are worshiping God, and we are, you know, we might be singing songs, worshiping in that particular form, and we come in and, you know, and we start at 10:30 and we come in at 5 to 11 and we're in the midst of worship, people's focus is going to be taken off the worship because somebody else is coming in and they're causing disturbance within the congregation. And it's important for us to come believing that today I'm going to have my life changed. Why? Because I'm gathering with God's people, and God said, where two or three are there in the midst in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's here. He's in this place. So when we come having prepared ourselves before we come. Oh, that's so important, people. Prepare ourselves before we come. Listen, I spend most of the day Saturday and Saturday night praying and seeking God for today. You know, I pray throughout the week, but I usually set aside Saturday for most part and pray and seek God and for what he wants to for me to share with you this morning. I prepare myself for coming before you. I prepare myself. Now, I can only do my part in preparing myself to deliver what I believe God has for me to deliver. It's your responsibility to prepare yourself to receive. I can't prepare the receiving part. That's going to have to be your part. When you come to any meeting, when you come to hear any preacher, the preacher can't prepare you to receive. You have to do your own repairing in that area. And so you have to take the time and to consider where you're going and put it in a place that we would refer to as holy. Now, you and I have been created to fellowship with God. You and I have been created, the Bible says, in the likeness and image of God. Do we agree with that? That we've been created in his image. Now, I want us to think about something for a moment. We can look around us and see the beauty of this day. We look around and see Prince Edward Island, the beauty of that in the summertime, and we could go to places in the world.